One of the most beautiful explanations I've ever come across of the Eucharist reads this way. In the Eucharist, God comes to be among us. He puts himself into our hands, literally. And with that, God is not a great unknown whom we can barely conceive. He is here. So we should never fear that he might be too far away or he is too great to hear us. In the Eucharist, God is near us. He knows us and he is waiting for us. Now, if someone were to ever ask you, why are you Catholic and why do you insist on going to Mass every Sunday to receive Holy Communion, this would be a great answer. A beautiful way to explain the unknowable mystery of transubstantiation, that God wants to be near us, even in our very hands. Straight out of Ephesians, our second reading today. And it really puts into context for me and my brother priests what it must be like for people who can't receive Holy Communion. Married and divorced people, for example. This latest debate that Pope Francis is leading us through, we've been experiencing this idea of, well, who is worthy and who is unworthy to receive Holy Communion? What a painful conversation to be having in the light of these beautiful words about Holy Communion, that he knows us and he wants to be near each one of us. You might be interested in knowing who wrote these beautiful words. Pope Benedict XVI, maybe one of the most misunderstood Catholic personalities of the last 50 years. Most people think of Benedict as rigid, legalistic, conservative, unaware of what people are going through in the pews of churches around the world, especially here in Austin, Texas. But I can't think of a more aware, loving, pastoral way of explaining Holy Communion. And I think his insight into the Eucharist is what brings this passage from Mark into a full flowering. When he disembarked, he saw crowds, and his heart was moved with pity for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. This line from Mark, it's a one-line explanation of the incarnation. Why did God choose to come among us? He didn't do this because he's angry at us or bored or experimenting with his creation. He came among us for no other reason. This is important. He came among us for no other reason other than he took pity on us. God's nature is to love us and to want to be near us, as Pope Benedict explains. His nature is to be concerned about us. It's very interesting that this passage from Mark is a continuation of last week's gospel, when, as you remember, he sent out the 12 with his authority to cast out demons and to cure the sick, which is a continuation of an earlier passage from Mark where he brings together the 12 to begin their ministry and he gives them his authority. They become his delegates in the world so that when he died and rose and ascended into heaven, we would still know him through them. So, Jesus' entire ministry, the authority with which he imbues the apostles, and as such, our authority is predicated on a heart moved with pity. All of it, all of this is based on his heart moved with pity for the people that he created. Now, this sounds oddly like another pope, Pope Francis. His whole ministry, his whole project is about pity for those who are disconnected, those who are on the fringes. And it begs the question of you and me, are our hearts capable of being moved with pity? Now, this is a powerful question. Is your heart capable of being moved with pity? It's different than, do we understand the gospel, or do we understand church teaching, or are we able to talk about theology? These are different things. Are our hearts capable of being moved with pity? Homeless people, sick people, old people, immigrant people, addicted people, mentally ill people, lonely people, lost people, divorced people, unemployed people, people who are confused about their faith, obnoxious people, mean people, cynical people. Are you a person whose heart is moved with pity for these people because his heart is moved with pity for you every time we celebrate the Eucharist? See, this is the connection with this gospel. When you think about it, Mass, it's as if he's here on the boat and we are here on the shore, and he disembarks just before Holy Communion and he looks out on us and his heart is moved with pity for us. This gospel is Mass in miniature. So I think this might be a good litmus test that measures our ministry. It's not about what we can get accomplished here at St. Louis Catholic Church. It's not about how many ministries we can start. It's not about our amazing media page on our webpage. It's not about how beautiful our liturgies are, or how great the homilies might be, or how beautiful the gardens are, or whether or not our schools are fully enrolled or not. It's not even about whether we're in the red or the black on our budget. All of these things are important, and we do a great job with them at St. Louis. But if our hearts are not moved with pity, if our ministry, if our faith for that matter, is not influenced by a movement of the heart for other people, then all of these things we do here, as great as they are just play church. Is your heart capable of being moved with pity? Now, I've heard a lot of people, both in church circles and outside of church circles, I've heard a lot of people share their thoughts recently on our country's situation when it comes to immigration. I've heard people talk about laws, which are obviously really important. We have to have laws to have an ordered society. I've heard people talk about infrastructure. Can we serve the undocumented immigrants if they come to live in our communities? This is a valid question that we have to address. I've heard people talk about crimes committed by people who aren't citizens. Well, this is true, and it's something that we ought to be concerned about and figure out how to fix it. I don't claim to have the acumen to adequately solve the immigration quandary. I studied theology, not political science. But one thing I can say, as your pastor, one thing that I do say to each one of us today is this: if our hearts cannot be moved with pity, there's a problem. Even with all the good arguments that someone can make in support of walls and deportations, well-founded on law and justice, even with those good arguments, hearts that are incapable of being moved with pity might be the greatest poverty of our time. We celebrate God coming to be near us each time we're here at Mass and receive Holy Communion. And he does this because on our own, we too are like sheep without a shepherd. On our own, we are lost and without compass to find our way. This is how generous he is with you and with me. You know, at the end of the day, after all the prayers have been prayed and all the meetings have been done and all of the different visits to hospitals and catechism classes and all the things that I do as a priest, at the end of the day, when I don't have anything else left to say, all I say is this: Lord, don't let go of me. If you do, I will be lost. That's what happens at Mass. And for that, we give God thanks every Mass for his generosity. But since he does this for you and for me, we are charged to go out and do the same for others. Whether they're from Honduras or Houston, whether they're homeless or hopeless, whether they are people who have it all together or people who can't seem to get it together at all. Our ministry, given by Jesus through the apostles, is to have pity on them and endeavor to care for them. This is what we call apostolic action. And Catholics are the Christians most identified with apostles and action. I'm fond of saying that the holiest we could ever get, you've heard me talk about this before, theosis. If you could ever reach perfect holiness, it would be as if you and God have become one. Total union of God and person. See, this is the goal. This is why you pray. This is why you come to Mass. This is why you receive Holy Communion. You're trying to be totally interconnected with God. If that could ever happen, people would have trouble telling the difference between you and God. You wouldn't become God. God is God. You are you. But it would be that you and God are so close that you have become one. And that closeness, if that could ever happen, which is the goal of every Christian, then you would be able to see what God sees. You would be able to hear the things that God hears, and you would feel how God feels. If that could ever happen, and we should hope that it would one day, then our hearts would automatically be moved with pity. Because we would see people as he sees people. Sheep without a shepherd. And we would do nothing other than protect them because he has no desire other than to protect us. The question is this: is your heart capable of being moved with pity? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.